I'm Ashley.
I'm Demetria.
And welcome to the fourth. We don't know where we are. Don't record two episodes in 1 week.
Oh my God. Like, we haven't even gotten that far into the process yet. And we're already confused about what episode we're
this
on.
This is the fourth episode. Welcome. Yes. I know on episode 3, we had mentioned that we were recording two episodes in one night. That did not happen. This is Friday. We recorded that one on Monday. So since we're 4 days later, what's new?
Nothing much for myself personally, other than I have been getting the creepy crawlies in my apartment since listening to your episode. I made a joke last episode that that would happen, but I honestly at the time was joking because I haven't had creepy crawly feelings in my apartment since I first moved in, which is a story in itself that we can tell a later date because Ashley had to come over to do a tarot reading to expel some ghosts from my house. But I have had creepy crawly feelings, which is not fun.
Because of the Donnelly ghost stuff?
Yeah, and
someone's always watching.
So, I don't know. I've had other real weird feelings. I don't really want to get into it right now until something else happens because I want to have like a full story to be able to tell.
She's just waiting for shit to hit the bed.
Yeah. Shit to hit the bed. Bed to hit the fan?
No. Shit to hit the fan.
Oh. Oh my God.
The bed doesn't hit the fan either. Wow.
That would be bad.
Wow.
So it still has the same connotation.
The fan. You're waiting for things to get worse.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, because of this other instance that I had in my apartment, I want to see if it's potentially that thing. So I might have
Demetria is being so ominous for you guys. Yes.
But that's okay. I will tell you guys the story at a later date when I have an update. Might be next episode. We'll have to see.
So nothing exciting in your life then?
Oh, I'm going on vacation.
We talked about that. That's why we're recording two in the same week.
Yes.
They already know.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So what's new with you?
Oh God. We're not going to talk about it.
We're not going to talk about it? You're going to be equally as ominous as I'm being?
No. It's been like the most stressful week of my life.
Yeah.
Like literally, Demetria has been a champ. Because I've been the weirdest person.
I have been the supporter of the Ashley.
So I picked up my wedding dress on Wednesday. So it would have been 2 days after last episode was recorded. And things were weird with that. A whole bunch of sizing weirdness.
Sucks because you always want to go into the place and be like, this is my dress. And have it like be awesome.
I mean, I'm more than confident in the seamstress's abilities to fix it. And I don't want to get into it because I don't want to badmouth any places or anybody's abilities. But like some weird stuff happened that made my sizing not correct.
Yeah, and made picking up your dress
stressful. So that was that. And then Tuesday, I went forward in time and now I'm going backward in time.
So that was Wednesday. We're now on Tuesday.
Tuesday, we went to look. My car is a shithole, guys. When I had a brake problem go wrong, long story short, like a couple months ago, and they didn't want to fix my brakes because they're like, this car is garbage. It's not going to be on the road. Are you sure you want to put $400 into fixing your brakes? And I said yes.
to your dismay.
Yeah. And then so finally I was just like, you know what? Like I keep getting told it's not going to make it through winter. So I'm going to look at brand new cars. And I may have bought a brand new car. I don't get it till Wednesday of next week. And I don't want to get my hopes up because like there's some paper stuff that needs to be finalized. But it's looking like I might have a new car. If I get it, I will excitedly tell you more later.
Yeah. She's joining.
Joining?
Joining the family of my car.
The Hyundai.
The Hyundai family.
Hyundai family.
I bought a car
in August.
No, 2 months ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 months ago. It is a Hyundai Elantra. I love it. So I might have led Ashley to also buy a Hyundai because they're my
favorite. But mine's an Accent. Mine is a hatchback.
Yes, which we don't know. We don't have it, her. We don't have her for sure yet.
No. I mean, it looks like it's all going to be good. There was just so much back and forth between me and the dealership because the guy, the salesman I got, he really did work his magic. Like, he did everything he could to get me the best deal and everything I wanted in a really good budget. But because there was so much back and forth, there's just some paper stuff that needs to be finalized, but I probably have a new vehicle. So that's the up to my down. And on that note, enough about me. I'm done. I'm done now. Sharing is done.
Sharing time. Show and tell is done.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had like okay weeks since we last were on the pod.
Yeah, besides the dress stuff. And, like, the car stuff was mildly stressful while the back and forth was going on. So I was like, am I getting a car? Am I not getting a car? What is the decision? I don't know. I'm a crazy person.
Yeah. and having potentially a spirit or ghost in my apartment again is not fun, but no. I don't have confirmation yet. So we'll confirm once.
So many things. We're like, we'll tell you later, guys. I feel like that's our mantra. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. Yeah. We just don't have that much to say right now because things are up in the air for us.
Yeah.
On two different themes. One is car related. One is like ghost related. So now that we've given everybody a ominous update on our lives, let's get into an ominous story.
Yeah. What are you telling us about this week?
So I'm telling you about Oak Island.
I'm hoping it's not true crime.
Yeah.
It's true crime?
No. I made that joke last week where I was like, or I guess on Monday when we recorded, but I was like, it's true crime. We're doing it 3 weeks in a row. And you're like, oh my God.
Well, I know, but I didn't get validation on that. It's not true crime.
It is not.
Okay.
Good. It is a myth / legend / supernatural. It's kind of a mix between a bunch of stuff.
I've never heard of this before either. Like everything we've talked about, I've been like, I kind of know what we're doing, but like, I've never heard of Oak Island in my whole life.
I hadn't heard anything about this either until I think, and that's why we drank did an episode on it, but I'm not 100% sure, but some podcast I listened to did an episode on it and it was quite interesting. And I was left feeling like I wanted more, and it's in Canada and it follows our theme. So I was like, I'm going to do research on this topic and I'm going to find it out. I was so erratic about it. I was so obsessed. So I know research.
It was one of the first ones you put on the list.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk about it so badly. I wanted to look into it so badly. So actually just booped my cat.
Sorry. Interrupt this program to poke Max in the nose.
He's like chilling on the table, just being like,
yeah. Hi guys. I'm here too.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm part of the pot. So today my story is the Oak Island story or the Oak Island mystery.
Okay.
So there's a couple things that go into this. Unfortunately, there wasn't much research that I found to my
dismay.
Yes, because I wanted to find so much more information. And I had listened to the episode of And That's Why I Drink a while back. So I remembered it was something. It was interesting to me, but I couldn't remember exactly why. So during my research, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to uncover so much stuff. And I really didn't uncover as much as I wanted to, but I'm going to tell as much as I can about this because it's very interesting. And like I said, hopefully we'll leave you guys wanting more like I did so I can share these feelings with you and we can both be upset.
Or hopefully you provide enough research that nobody wants more.
Well,
that's not going to happen.
I tried. Is the point of this. But anyway.
Okay, go.
So the Oak Island mystery refers to stories of buried treasure and unexplained objects that are found near or on Oak Island in Nova Scotia. Since the 19th century, a number of attempts have been made to locate treasure or artifacts. Theories about artifacts present on the island range from pirate treasure to Shakespearean manuscripts to the possibility of the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant, with the Grail and the Ark having been buried there by the Knights Templar. Various items have surfaced over the years that were found on the island, some of which have been carbon dated and found to be hundreds of years old. Although these items can be considered treasure in their own right, no significant main treasure site has ever been found. In addition to the legend of the treasure, there is a known curse that affects all that wish to have treasure hunt there. So because there's been no significant treasure, spoilers, that's what's left me wanting more. So
I feel like I need all the treasure. Show me cool things.
Yes. And there's been so many attempts to find treasure on this island. That's what's made me so, it's made me have blue balls for the story.
But I'm confused. So, but there has been treasure, right? Because like the Ark of the Covenant, like pirate stuff, or there's just legend that it's there, but no one's found anything.
So there has been items that have been found that is treasure, but there hasn't been the theories of other things being there. Those have not been uncovered. So like,
okay.
Shakespearean manuscripts have not been uncovered. The Holy Grail has not been uncovered.
And why do people think it's there?
Because of other legends, which I will get into later.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Ashley looked me in the face and she's like, you're really saying that sentence right now?
Guys, Demetria has a catchphrase.
So very little verified information is known about early treasure-related activities on Oak Island. It wasn't until decades later that publishers began to pay attention to such activity and investigated the stories involved. Many of the early accounts are thus word-of-mouth stories going back to the late 18th century. The first of these stories by early settlers involves a dying sailor of the crew, Captain Kidd, in which he states that the treasure is worth £2 million and has been buried on the island. This legend goes back way long ago. So I think
it's a pirate tale.
Exactly. So I think that's why so many people have dug for treasure here, because they're like, there must be treasure here. So first and foremost, I'm going to go through some of the artifacts that may or not be on the island. So William Kidd, also known as Captain William Kidd or simply Captain Kidd, was a Scottish sailor who was tried and executed for piracy after returning from a voyage to the Indian Ocean. It is unknown what treasure he would have buried at Oak Island, and many skeptics believe that Captain Kidd never passed Oak Island during his time at sea. But there is a legend that his treasure is buried on Oak Island, and it has fascinated people nonetheless. So that's like the first thing that I read where I was like, he apparently has never even been to Oak Island, but a member of his crew literally said that there's £2 million there. So I guess we're just going to have to find out.
Okay.
So in addition to the legend of Captain Kidd's treasure being buried there, there were theories of what other artifacts may be hidden around the island. So one of the other legends is that Marie Antoinette's jewels are on the island.
That's random.
Yeah, but I'll get into it. So Marie Antoinette's jewels, missing except for specimens in museum collections, may have been hidden on the island. On October 5th, 1789, revolutionaries incited an angry mob of Parisian workers to march the Palace of Versailles. According to an undocumented story, Marie Antoinette instructed her maid, or lady-in-waiting, to flee with her jewels. The maid fled with her jewels to London, and perhaps artwork as well, documents and other treasures, and she put it all in her luggage. So she hid all of those things in her luggage, allegedly. So
that's still in England, not yes. Nova Scotia.
So the women then fled from London to Nova Scotia. Using royal connections, she contracted the French Navy to construct the Oak Island Pit. In late 2017, possible evidence for this theory was discovered. A 500-year-old brooch containing a large garnet was found on the island. The reason that people think Marie Antoinette's jewels are there is because her lady-in-waiting did flee from London to Nova Scotia. That is actually documented.
Okay.
And she allegedly took all of these items with her. They also found this brooch, which could be backdated to Marie Antoinette's time.
On Oak Island.
Yes. So people put the two and two together and they're like, oh my God, they must have jewels on this island somewhere.
Okay.
No one has found them, but that is a legend. So the Bacon Shakespeare authorship is the next legend.
Bacon?
Spoiler, it's a guy's name.
Okay.
So it sounds weird, but like...
It's bacon. Just go.
It's just...
Tell me about bacon.
It's just meat.
Tell me about bacon.
In his 1953 book, The Oak Island Enigma... A History and Inquiry into the Origin of the Money Pit, Pen Leary wrote that the pit was used to hide manuscripts indicating that Francis Bacon was the author of William Shakespeare's works and a leader of the Rosicrucian, I think is how you say that. Leary's The Second Cryptographic Shakespeare, published in 1990, identified ciphers in Shakespeare's plays and poems which pointed to Bacon's authorship.
Okay.
So this has been an ongoing theory for a while now. I actually heard about this when I was learning about Shakespeare in high school, that people think Francis Bacon... is actually William Shakespeare, and William Shakespeare is his, what's the name of the thing when you use a fake name?
A pseudonym?
Yes, is his pseudonym. Well, he was apparently using William Shakespeare as a fake name.
Okay.
According to many different theories. So people think that Francis Bacon hid the manuscripts, indicating that he's William Shakespeare on this island.
Okay.
There's no other ties to where he could have came to Canada and hid these manuscripts, but apparently they're on the island.
Okay.
In his book, Oak Island Secrets, Mark Finnan, I think is how you say his last name, noted that many markings were found on Oak Island, and the shaft or the pit and its mysterious contents seem to replicate aspects of Masonic initiation rites involving a hidden vault with sacred treasure. Joe Nickel, a prominent skeptic and investigator of the paranormal, identifies parallels between Oak Island's accounts and the secret vault allegory in the York Rite Freemasonry and Chase Vault in Barbados.
Okay.
So another theory holds that the Rosicrucians and their reported leader, Francis Bacon, organized a secret project to make Oak Island its home of the legendary vault with the means to conceal ancient manuscripts and artifacts. Researchers claim to have found codes hidden in Shakespeare, rock formations on the island, and clues hidden in the 16th or 17th century art and historical documents. Again, pointing that Francis Bacon is William Shakespeare, and then he traveled to Oak Island and he hid all his stuff here.
This is like cool if it's legit, but it just seems like a bunch of like wives' tales.
Exactly. So they have not found any of these items and allegedly
it's weird how a lot of them are coming from England.
Yes. Obviously, Nova Scotia is an entry point of people coming into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, people would use Nova Scotia in the channel that leads from Nova Scotia into Canada to immigrate here.
Yeah, no, and that fully makes sense. So I get like it makes sense. It's just strange.
Yeah, it's definitely strange that people think that these very famous people would just randomly travel to an
all
island.
All pick this exact same island.
Yes.
Yes.
In Nova Scotia, and then be like, okay, I'm going to hide my shit here.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are theories abound about who deposited treasure, and there are those who wonder if there was ever treasure at all. One of the other most popular theories is that a loot from a stack in Havana in 1763 was the lost manuscripts of Shakespeare that was buried by Sir Francis Bacon.
So like the biggest thing, like the biggest treasure and rumor so far is the Shakespeare stuff, for yes. sure.
And there are many different theories on how Francis Bacon's documents got from where he was.
But no one's found them.
No one's found them, but there's different theories. Like, people think that the Spanish brought them over. People think that he brought them over. People think his people brought them over. So I don't know why this is a ongoing theory.
But, like, people really believe that these documents are on this island despite no proof.
Yes.
Okay.
So Spain discovered the overwhelming riches in Central America very early in history, and by the 16th and 17th centuries had well-established transportation routes that brought them very close to Nova Scotia, and indeed brought them on occasion right past Oak Island.
So, like, it's possible, but again, everyone's just stretching this island so thin.
Yes. And the other thing is, too, they haven't found these treasures.
I just, like, I guess I'm so confused why everybody believes this island specifically.
It's not a very large island, either. Like, it's not, like, a huge island that has a bunch of people living on it. It's this tiny island. I think they said it's 144 acres.
Oh.
And it's off of the coast of Nova Scotia.
So it's like a farm.
Yeah, it's literally just
the size of a farm.
It's a little tiny baby island.
Where everyone's like, everything is here, but we found nothing.
Yes. Well, there was something found with respect to the Spanish, but it wasn't much. Okay. So in 1965, an electromagnetic search by a group of students netted something interesting. And one of the things that they found was a corroded coin.
Okay.
So they did find a coin on the island, and the coin was a Spanish Maravedi, I think is what it's called. And it did date back to 1592.
Okay.
Sorry.
So I mean,
1598.
So I mean, it like could be proof, but it's also a super corroded coin. And is again, reach. This story is so reachy.
I know. And there's one single coin that was found there. Not 10, not 5.
This island is bonkers.
Yeah. So there has been many known excavations on the island.
Okay.
Based on this information. So I'm just going to go through those quickly.
Okay.
So Daniel McGinnis, who lived across from Oak Island, he saw some odd lights the one night, and he felt the need to investigate. Okay. So he lived across, and he saw these lights, and he was like, oh, I don't know what's going on there, so I'm going to go check it out. He found a depression in the ground in 1799. McGinnis, who believed that the depression was consistent with the Captain Kidd's story, sought help with digging. So he had heard the Captain Kidd theory that there was 2 million pounds on this island, and he found this depression, and he said that the soil was loose around it. So he was like, obviously something has been dug here. So I'm going to dig, and I'm going to get help to do so. So with the assistance of two men identified as John Smith and Anthony Vaughn, he excavated the depression and discovered a layer of flagstones 2 feet or 60 centimeters below.
All right.
So he did find something.
But not anything.
No.
Something, but not anything.
Yeah. So according to later accounts, oak platforms were discovered every 10 feet. However, the earliest accounts simply mentioned marks of some type at these intervals. These platform of logs were encountered in the first pit that was dug to recover treasure. That pit eventually became known as the Money Pit. So the Money Pit's reference earlier is where everybody thinks this alleged treasure is hidden, although nothing has really been found.
So why do they think it's there?
I don't know. Just because of all the legends. And at this time,
I don't even know why there's so many legends.
Well, it's 1799. So people were just talking. Things were being published. There wasn't the internet or the ability to really do research at that time, and anybody could fabricate a story. So
because of so many different fabrications of so many different stories, this island has just become this like whirlwind of stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Daniel McGinnis had heard one of the fabricated stories of Captain Kidd, and he was like, I'm going there.
Okay.
And then he did find something. He did find these weird platforms that were 10 feet down.
I mean, that is weird.
Exactly. So salt water entered the area at an astonishing rate from the tunnels that were apparently constructed, and it flooded the Money Pit, which was near the sea.
Okay.
So people think that the flooding is actually caused by a booby trap, that these oak platforms were placed there because there's treasure at the bottom, and then they had hit one of the booby traps and it flooded with water so that they weren't able to get the treasure. And my understanding from my research is there was no other solid theory to prove why water flooded into the tunnel or into the Money Pit.
Why is this the most Indiana Jones sounding story now?
It is. Like, it literally is. But it's so weird because they found these platforms, so there was something there.
And but then they couldn't get below because magically something stopped them.
Exactly. So the tunnels were fed by a system of stone drains buried 5 feet under the beach and covered with so much coconut fiber when removed was piled on the shore like haystacks. So the more that they excavated, they found coconut, which became like haystacks because there was so much coconut fiber. And if you don't live in Canada, coconut is not something that grows here. We do not have coconut trees in Canada. It's not
common at all, no.
Exactly. So that was another thing that...
People were like, why is there coconut?
Exactly. So the earth was noticeably loose and not as hard packed as the surrounding soil. Again, why Daniel decided to start hunting there. And the three men reportedly abandoned the excavation at 30 feet due to superstitious dread. So they started to feel weird about digging there.
Well, because one of them had flooded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there was only one pit going down at that point.
Oh.
Eventually, there will be several pits and several bores, as they call it, where people dig sideways into the money pit. And all of them end up flooding. But this is far in the future. But essentially, these men, they start digging. And then they're like, we feel weird about the situation because of the things that we're finding. Like the platforms and the coconut.
And all the weird, yeah.
So they stop digging.
Okay.
So in 1802, a group of known as the Onslow Company allegedly sailed from central Nova Scotia to Oak Island to recover what they believed to be hidden treasure. They continued the excavation down about 90 feet with layers of logs found about every 10 feet and also layers of charcoal, putty, and coconut fiber, along with a large stone inscribed with symbols. So the second group did find some stuff, but again,
not treasure.
Not treasure. So my understanding as well, charcoal is not native to this area. Coconut is definitely not native to this area.
So, like, they're finding weird stuff. Like, this island is weird, but, like, there's no treasure. It's just weird.
Exactly. So, they did find a large stone as well, and it was inscribed with symbols. So, the stone was said to resemble a dark Swedish granite and to have an olive tinge and was not a stone common in the area. The stone contained a mysterious inscription. The most famous and generally accepted translation of this inscription reads 40 feet below 2 million pounds are buried. So again, found like, something.
Just not anything.
Exactly. And the 2 million pounds buried below does follow the story of Captain Kidd.
Like there's things, so many things pointing to this, the story. There's just no validity.
Exactly. No validity in the way that like they didn't find buried treasure. But yeah. They're finding all this other stuff and they're like, okay, obviously this is worth looking into.
Yeah.
But the other thing too, they have already dug past 40 feet. They've dug 90 feet and haven't found anything.
Which is weird.
So the next major excavation attempted was carried out in 1861 by a company called the Oak Island Association. The original pit was re-excavated to the depth of 88 feet and two more shafts were also dug. So again, that's what I was talking about. The bores is what they're called like when they
sideways
were
sideways digging.
Yeah, they were digging sideways or also beside.
Okay.
The first one missed its intended target and allegedly flooded, while the other intersected the original shaft via a branched off tunnel about 105 feet deep. Both of these shafts were filled with water when an alleged tunnel flooded and it was again breached.
Okay.
So again, people think they're hitting these booby traps somehow, or because they hit the original one, all of these tunnels that are close by are also flooding and they're not able to find anything. At one point, one of the platforms placed in the original shaft at 98 feet collapsed and dropped to a lower level. The effect caused the next two platforms to drop as well, with treasure now resting somewhere between 119 feet below. So people think at this point that the treasure has gone down to 119 feet below. So the first of six accidental deaths during the excavations occurred during the fall of 1861 when a pump engine boiler burst.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So somebody died, which goes back to the curse, which I haven't touched on the curse yet, but just remember that information for later. So in 1866, a group known as the Oak Island El Dorado Company, or more commonly the Halifax Company, was formed to find treasure. Again, we got more people being like, oh my God, there's weird stuff, so we have to go look at it.
Yeah.
By this time, there are many shafts, boreholes, and tunnels under Oak Island made by the previous treasure hunters, because people are trying to find this treasure so damn bad.
Yeah.
When a plan to shut off the alleged flood tunnels from the Smiths didn't work, the company decided to shift focus to the original main shaft, which is the money pit.
Okay.
Exploratory holes that were drilled turned up bits of wood, more coconut fiber, soft clay, and blue mud. Having nothing found of interest, the group gave up their search in 1867.
Why is no one digging anywhere else on this island, though? Like, give up on this one spot and look elsewhere.
I know. There were other searches done in a cove that was nearby, but nothing was also found. So everybody always came back to the money pit because of the stone that was found and these platforms.
It's the place that most things are found. But, like, yes. There's an entire island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That treasure could be like 40 feet away.
And they're just missing it because they're obsessed with this one area.
Exactly. In 1896, an unknown group arrived on the island with steam pumps and boring equipment.
Oh, God.
So boring equipment to make the bore holes, as they call it. Although these pumps were unable to keep water out of the flooded side shaft, boring samples were taken. It was claimed that one of the samples brought back a tiny piece of sheepskin parchment to the surface. The parchment had two letters, which were VI or WI. They weren't able to decipher which one it was.
Mm-hmm.
Written in India ink. So they were able to find something from India. Again, Captain Kidd was in the India area during his travels. So these tiny little things that they're finding.
Are giving people something to cling on to.
Yes.
Yeah.
The second accidental death occurred on March 26, 1897, when a worker named Maynard Kayser fell into the pit. While being pulled out of the shaft, the ascension rope broke and Kayser fell back into the pit to his death.
Oh, God.
His body was never recovered. In 1898, red paint was poured into the flooded pit by the group, reportedly revealing that there's three exit holes around the island, pointing to the fact that this treasure could be in the ocean right now.
It could have just, like, floated away.
Floated away. Yep. But people still kept digging. Captain Henry Baldwin arrived on Oak Island in August 1909, representing the Old Gold Salvage Group. One of the members was actually Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Oh, wow.
The 32nd president of the United States.
Went to Oak Island.
Yes. When I found this, I was like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I guess he had a life before presidency.
Yes, but, like, why was he in Canada?
Because he's a treasure hunter. He's a pirate. I'm just being a douche.
No, he literally is a treasure hunter. Franklin D. Roosevelt, stirred by family stories originating from his sailing and trading grandfather. Oh. So he literally comes from a family of people who have done this in the past, began following the mystery in late 1909 and early 1910. So Roosevelt continued to follow it until his death in 1945. So while he was still president.
He was a treasure hunter.
He was still listening to the story and trying to find out what was happening with it. Throughout his political career, he monitored the island's recovery attempts and development. By this time, the area was known as the Money Pit. So previous to that, it was not known as the Money Pit, but I've been referencing this area as the Money Pit.
Okay.
And was cleared out to 113 feet, and divers were sent down to investigate. Although multiple borings were taken in and around the pit, none of the cores revealed anything of interest.
So still,
nothing. William Chappell became interested and excavated the pit in 1931 by sinking a 12 by 14 foot, 163 foot shaft.
So he went the furthest down ever.
Yes. Southwest of what he believes the site would be in 1897, which was another shaft that was built.
Okay.
So he went beside that shaft with his ginormous shaft.
Oh my God.
That sounds horrible.
I think we should stop saying the word shaft.
Okay, there was a hole, and then he went beside. This is turning to be so horrible.
It's okay. We'll just, moving on.
There was a money pit, and then he went beside the money pit and dug his own money pit, quote unquote.
Okay.
Which was the largest money pit that has ever been seen.
I mean, it's not the money pit, though, because there's another one called the money. Just call it a shaft. It's fine. That's what it would be, a shaft, like a mining shaft.
Yeah, it just was really gross the way I said it in that sentence.
It's fine.
It's fine. At 127 feet, a number of artifacts, including an axe, a fluke anchor, and a pick were found. The pick was identified as Cornish miner's pick, but at this time around the area, the pit was littered with debris from previous excavation attempts, and finding the owner was impossible. So they were able to find more stuff.
But it's just mining stuff. Like, it's just from other people excavating.
Yeah.
It's not even treasure this time.
Yes, exactly. So Gilbert Hedden, an operator of a steel fabricating company, saw an article in 1928 and was fascinated by the engineering problems involved in recovering the reported treasure. So he was like, I'm going to do this better than everybody else.
He's like, this isn't people aren't finding anything because there's nothing. This is people aren't finding anything because they're not as intuitive as me.
Exactly. So Hedden made 6 trips to Oak Island and collected books and articles about the island. He went to England to consult Harold Wilkins, the author of The Captain Kidd and His Skeleton Island, about a link he found between Oak Island and a map in Wilkins' book.
Okay.
So he was like, okay, I'm going to do some research on this. I'm going to be the most well-versed treasure hunter on this damn island. After Trapel's excavations, Hedden began digging in the summer of 1935 after he purchased the southeastern end of the island. In 1939, he informed King George about developments on the island. Further excavations were made in 1935 and 1936, but not one of them was successful.
Really? So, you don't say.
That's, no one is finding anything. And this guy was like, I'm going to prove everybody wrong.
And found nothing.
And found nothing. So Robert Restall, his 18-year-old son and work partner Carl Grazer, I think is how you say his last name, came to Oak Island in 1959 after signing a contract with one of the property owners. In 1965, they tried to seal what they thought was a storm drain and dug a shaft down to 27 feet. Every time I say shaft now, it's going to be a problem because I'm a little boy, a 13-year-old boy.
Because I'm a little boy.
It's fine. I'm not actually a little boy, but my brain is like,
that's what she said.
It's fine. On August 17th, Restall was overcome by hydrogen sulfide fumes, and his son went down the shaft and also lost consciousness.
Oh, God.
So Grazer and two others, Cyril Hiltz and Andy Dumont, attempted to save both of the men. A visitor to the site, Edward White, had himself lowered on a rope into the shaft and was able to bring out Dumont, Restall, his son, Grazer, and Hiltz, but they had all died. So they were able to recover the bodies, but they had all died in the shaft.
From?
We don't know if it was from the fumes or from impact of falling into the shaft. But they had somehow died. Because they could have died before they impacted.
From the fumes.
Yes. Okay. So we don't know the exact cause of death.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Restall's daughter, Lee Lamb, has alleged that the island is malevolent after hearing about the deaths of Restall, his son, Grazer, and Hiltz. So that year, Robert Dunfald leased portions of the island. So Dunfald dug into the pit to the depth of 134 feet and about 100 feet wide by using a 7-ton digging crane with a clam bucket. Transportation of the crane to the island required a construction of a causeway, which still exists, from the western end of the island to Cradell's Point on the mainland, which is 200 meters away. So they're now...
They've moved.
Yeah. And they're literally creating bridges to be able to dig on this island. So Dunfall's lease ended in 1966 and nothing was found.
Why am I not surprised?
It's so laughable at this point.
It is.
In January 1967, Daniel Blankenship, David Tobias, Robert Dunfield, and Fred Nolan formed a syndicate for exploration on the island.
Oh my God.
What?
This is like 200 years. Is it not? Didn't it start in the 1700s and now it's 1900s?
So Daniel McGinnis investigated the island in 1799.
Yeah, so it's been like 200 years of people forming groups to go dig on this island and find nothing. And still 200 years later, they're like, let's form a group.
Yep.
I'm done. I quit.
It's horrible. Like, that's what I mean. It's laughable at this point because people are finding nothing.
But, like, they won't give up.
They will not.
Because there's so many rumors. But they're, like, 200-year-old rumors.
Yeah. And
like,
that's why
stop.
I know. And that's why I have blue balls because I'm like.
Find something.
Literally. So, 2 years later, Blankenship and Tobias formed Triton Alliance after purchasing most of the islands. So, they were like, we're just going to buy this island and we're going to dig all over the place and we're going to find something. So Triton workers excavated a 235-foot shaft known as Borehole 10X, which was supported by steel and bedrock in 1971. They're putting in very strong materials to be able to dig down as far as possible.
And so that no one dies because there's been so many deaths.
Well, and at this point, I'm assuming there's laws that dictate how you're supposed to dig holes and stuff like that.
Probably.
So they probably have to follow those. So according to Blankenship and Tobias, cameras lowered into the shaft into a cave recorded possible chests, human remains, wooden cribbing, and tools. However, the images were unclear and none of the claims have been independently confirmed. The shaft later collapsed and the excavation was again abandoned.
So like more hint at something maybe, but again, nothing.
Yeah. Like that they said that they had seen images of all these things. I'm wondering if it's just a lie to be able to continue to dig here based on what I'm going to say
because
next.
It's just hearsay.
Exactly. So it was announced in April 2006 that brothers Rick and Marty Lagina of Michigan had purchased 50% of Oak Island from David Tobias for for an undisclosed sum. The rest of the company is owned by Blankenship. Exploration by the Ligina brothers has been documented in a reality television show airing on the History Channel starting in 2014.
So in 2014, there's a show about this now.
Yes. And I watched clips. They didn't find anything. Spoiler alert. They didn't find anything. But I think that's why Blankenship and Tobias was like, yeah, we found stuff on cameras. Like, we saw into a cave and there's stuff down there.
Because now there's a show and now it's a money grab and people are just like milking this to the death.
Yes. Ignoring everything that I just said, I'm going to talk about deaths and the curse because of the fact that I wasn't able to find, or not that I wasn't able to find.
Because there's nothing.
Based on the information that there is nothing on this damn island, I literally sat at my computer and was like, there must be something else. And there is, but it's not treasure.
Okay.
So I'm going to get into that now. And this island, because it's been excavated and the land has been disrupted and there's been so many different people on this island, there has been supernatural
presence.
Yes. Well, accounts of it anyway.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about those and also the curse, which I highlighted earlier. So there's supposed to be a curse on the island, which claims that 7 must die before the treasure can be found. I could not find where this curse had originated. I just know that that is the alleged curse or legend on this island.
Very similar to the legend of the treasure, which means it may not be true.
Exactly.
But so how many people died though? 6.
6.
So someone else has to die on the island according to the curse.
Yeah. Most of the people are familiar with the unknown worker that died in 1861 when a boiler exploded on the island, and with Maynard Kayser, who dropped to his death and died. So a lot of people also know about the 4 people that died during the 1965 Restall tragedy, which was Robert Restall, his son Robert, and his 2, I guess you could say, co-workers, friends, whoever was there helping him, Cyril Hilt and Carl Grazer.
Okay.
Which they fell to the bottom of the shaft because they were overcome with bad air and they died. So that is 6 people that have currently died on the island.
Right.
Based on excavation. So in my research, there were other people that have also died because a lot of these people were bringing the families to the island. They were settling there because they were excavating for such long periods of time.
Oh, so there's been way more than 7 deaths.
Yes, but there's only been 6 relating to treasure hunting specifically in the way that it's been treasure hunters that have died.
Okay.
So the curse apparently is very picky and it has to be
a treasure hunter.
Has to be a treasure hunter, not a treasure hunter's wife, not a treasure hunter's mom, not a treasure hunter's 3rd cousin.
The treasure hunter himself.
Yes. And there's only been 6.
That's specific.
So until the 7th dies, we will not know if this curse is true. So there has been, like I said, other ghostly encounters and supernatural instances because there's been so many people on and off this island. There's pirates here at one point, according to history. So obviously people are going to see stuff. And the other thing is too, based on my research, people were saying that the island just has like weird vibes to it or weird feeling associated with it. And because people are going there to find treasure, maybe people's imagination gets ahead of them.
Yeah, fair.
So these are the ghosts or supernatural instances. The first instance that people talk about are the supernatural lights that Daniel McGinnis witnessed. At the time, no one was living on this island. It was uninhabited. So people are wondering what these lights could have been.
Because he saw lights of workers.
And it's 1795. So it's not like someone was over there with a flashlight.
Oh, true.
Maybe they had a lantern over there.
But like, how would he have seen many if no one is there?
Exactly. So there's no explanation why lights were there and why Daniel saw lights there. A man named William, who had some ties to excavators during Oak Island's history, relayed that he was out on his boat one evening and he was lobster spearing on the north end of the island. He saw a figure of a man who was sitting between 2 twin trees. He had a long white beard and called to William. The old man told William that he would give him all the gold he could carry. William was so frightened that he paddled home as fast as he could.
Okay.
Another person alleged that near a big pile of rocks that was near a house, they saw a colt disappear into the stone wall of the house.
Just sink right in.
Yep.
Okay.
One morning, Peggy, one of the daughters of the caretakers hired to help with Heaton and the Hamilton expedition, she ran into the house claiming that she saw a crowd of people coming up on the shore.
Okay.
So she just saw all these people coming up on the shore.
I have a side note question.
Yes.
So like they were legitimately building and establishing here to excavate.
Yes.
Like starting lives, having families. Like they weren't going home each day. They were like living there.
Yeah. Because a lot of people were coming from other parts of Canada. the U.S., like
Europe, like all over.
Yeah, like Roosevelt. He literally is from the U.S.
Did he live there for a while then?
Yes.
Assumingly. Okay.
And
okay.
Same with the two guys that have been most recently on the island are from Michigan.
Okay. So for some reason, I don't know why I thought they were going home every day, but I wasn't putting it together that they were living there. Go ahead.
Yeah. So they were having they were bringing their families there.
Settling.
And at this point, during this time, they had caretakers to take care of their children, which then they had children, and that was Peggy. So she said that she had seen a crowd of people coming up on the shore. Based on how she described them, they looked like British soldiers. So they were wearing British soldier uniforms.
Okay.
And they were marching up the beach. A search of the beach revealed that there was no footprints on the shore and no one to be found.
Great.
So another time in the same year, Peggy, the same daughter of the caretaker that I mentioned.
Is she young?
Yes, I think she's a child at this point.
Okay.
So another time in the same year, Peggy came running inside after playing outside. She told her mother that there were three men sitting on the shore. Peggy described them. They're wearing typical pirate garb. So her father went to go have a look, but no one was there. Peggy's mother relayed that she had never told her children about the legends of pirates on Oak Island and that everybody thought that the island was haunted. So she never told her kids that the island was haunted or that there was pirates on there. So it just doesn't make any sense that Peggy had seen
those specific things.
Yes, pirates and then also British soldiers coming up on the island.
Yeah.
Just doesn't make any sense. But she's a child, so maybe her imagination is getting ahead of her.
I mean, I would like to give the island the benefit of the doubt. If it's not going to have treasure, it should at least get to have ghosts.
Exactly. I agree with that. So Marty Lagina said that he does not believe in ghosts or the paranormal, but he did experience something unusual on the island. He decided to take a walk one night on the island when he heard a blood-curdling scream. He became very spooked, unable to rationalize the noise that he heard, and he got back in his car and he left. So he's someone that claims that he's never believed in ghosts.
But he heard, like, legitimately a death scream.
Yes. And it doesn't make any sense that anybody in his crew would be screaming.
Okay.
So people have reported seeing a boat that appeared during the night and was gone by morning. There were allegedly marks in the sand in the morning, like a barrel had been rolled out from the boat during the night.
And many people saw this yes. one. Okay.
So it's weird that, again, there's just marks on the sand after seeing
with
a
no
boat.
Explanation.
And I'm assuming it would be a pirate ship if there's a barrel being rolled off of it.
Yeah.
Orbs have been seen and photographed around the island as well, but there's been no explanation on why those orbs have appeared or who these orbs could be. Could be pirates, could be other people that died there, who knows. So an EVP of someone saying who could do that was caught on a digital recorder at the island. Again, we don't know whose voice this is, but it was caught on EVP. And then Dan Heskey, who's assisted with Blankenship's expedition, admitted to seeing ghosts, demons, and other explained phenomenons. So he explained that he was so frightened one night that he removed all of his clothing and swam to the mainland.
I was so scared. I'm going to get naked. Like, if I was if I was terrified, I would not think to get naked before swimming. I would just swim fully dressed.
I would just dive right into the water.
I wouldn't be like, I have to make sure I'm naked first.
Exactly. But apparently that's what he did. He was like, I'm going to strip, get into the water, and swim to mainland.
Yes.
So he also experienced frequent nightmares and even felt possessed at one point by a priest. So the legend.
Wait, he felt possessed by a priest?
Yes. So there is a legend that pirates would murder someone when they buried treasure in order for the ghost to guard the treasure.
Okay.
So he claims that he was possessed by this ghost who admitted to him that it was a priest, that he was a priest.
And who had been murdered by a pirate for the treasure.
For the treasure. Gotcha. And I'm sure pirates and
priests. I was like, where did a priest get into this?
Exactly. Well, I was going to say pirates and priests don't assumingly get along. I'm assuming their moral compass is on two different sides.
Yeah.
So maybe they were like, we're going to pick a priest up and kill it because it'd be fun for us. And then he can guard the treasure.
Great.
So anyways, Henske believes that the priest was murdered at the treasure location for this very purpose. And the priest possessed Dan to let him experience his death and tell his story.
Okay.
And that is the story of Oak Island and the Oak Island mystery.
I don't know how I feel about you right now.
Why?
That was just like the most convoluted bullshit story that I've like, I'm not mad. I mean, I'm glad that we're telling it to our listeners and you like, it's something you wanted to research and I'm happy for you. I just like have a feeling of emptiness.
Yes. That's what I felt like too. And I was like, oh, nothing against him. That's why we drink. But I was like, maybe they're just not looking in the right places.
You had to know for yourself, being the avid researcher that you are, that every avenue was checked.
you guys obviously don't know this, but between the friendship that I have with Ashley, I am like the Googler.
She Googles everything. We will finish a movie and she will literally be like, I need to Google why this happened in the movie.
Yes. And I will find anything, anything on the internet.
If someone can find information about something, it's Demetria is what we're trying to say. So she just needed to know that her Demetria skills were utilized.
Yes. And that
story, the story, like it was super cool. And I kept being like, are they going to like it? I wanted to know, but I just hate that people were so stupid.
Yeah.
Every single person. They just could be like, oh, the last group didn't find something. Let's form a new group. Oh, the last group didn't find something. Let's form a new group.
Yeah. I'm still like laughing at Gilbert Heddon, whatever, however you say his last name, about being like, I'm going to find everything everybody else hasn't found because I'm the smartest treasure hunter.
That's you, though. That would be you as a treasure hunter. You would be him.
It totally would. But it's just funny because he just ended up abandoning his search because he didn't find anything. But he was so determined.
Well, that's you. He is the Google queen of his time.
Yes. And I just find it so funny because I obviously relate to that in a very large way.
Yeah.
That he was so determined. So the last thing I wanted to show you is I do have a picture of the money pit that has been sketched out.
Oh, cool. We'll definitely post that to our Instagram.
Yes.
Well, that's everything. I think I liked it better as a ghost story.
Than as a treasure hunting story or as a legend?
Yeah.
I agree. Because like I said, I try to do so much research on this story. I did so many hours of research because I was like, there's going to be something on this island. Yeah.
Well, and the ghost stuff is definitely more believable, which is like the nice part. As the treasure stuff became so unbelievable by the end, you were like, stop.
Yes.
Stop now.
But the other thing is, too, there wasn't that much ghost stuff. So there's like little tidbits.
I preferred the ghost stuff.
Yes. But there wasn't that much ghost stuff. Like there could have been a lot more.
Oh, for sure.
There could have been like 40 pirates.
There probably was. You know what I mean? Like there probably was more unreported ghost things. But the island just became such an epicenter focused around treasure that they didn't get reported because everyone was just like treasure, 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 treasure. Yeah.
For sure. And I, like I said, was halfway through the research and was like, I'm going to find stuff on this story.
But you did not.
I did not. So I had to share in the blue balls that I experienced while researching the story.
Because that's what we like to do here.
Yes.
Anyway, well, thank you guys for listening to episode 4. Like us on Instagram if you haven't already.
Yes. Or send us an email. We've talked about this in, I think, every episode we've had so far.
Tales from the Midnight Society. It's talesfromthemidnightsociety@gmail.com. Tales from the Midnight Society on Instagram. If there's a platform that you want to listen on that we're not posting on yet and you're listening on something you don't normally, let us know. We'll fix it. Constructive feedback
is welcomed.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention as well, we're not on Stitcher yet. So if that is
your... You did mention Stitcher too last time, I think.
Yeah. So we're not on Stitcher yet, just because we haven't been approved from our first episode. The platform that we're using to upload our episodes, it hasn't gone through yet. So if that is your main listening platform, we will get there. We will be on there.
We're just waiting.
We just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. So how it works for us is we upload to one thing. Well, you would see that because we link it. It's Anchor. And then Anchor distributes to everywhere else. So sometimes it's a little bit slower if you're on like Apple or Spotify.
Should be right away.
It should be right away. Yeah, just any of those smaller companies that sometimes there's a lag, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, that's all. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your night. Enjoy whatever.
Yes, we will see you next week with another story. We don't actually know what story we're telling next week.
No, we don't. But Demetria will be back from vacation, so she can tell us all about it.
Yeah, I'll be tanned and ready to listen to some spooky stories.
Okay, bye.
Bye.